Hi, this is Maria Torres, and I am here with my friend and colleague, Sergio Trujillo from On Your Feet. I am excited to be conducting this interview at the historic 890 building where all of the dance greats create. Thank you for listening, and here you are, Sergio and I from On Your Feet.
Hi, this is Sergio Trujillo, and you're listening to Hourglass On Your Feet Full Access. Gracias, Maria. Thank you for having me, both of you. I'm excited to be here.
I am so excited to be here with you. First of all, you and I go way back. Just to let our audience know, we go way back to like the early 90s, which is not a long time for us because we still look good. Anyway, but
That's 30 years. That's 30 years, Maria Torres.
30 years, but you know what? It's 30 wonderful years because I've watched you go from being a dancer like myself to this amazing choreographer that I just love and admire, and you know, got a chance to work close hand with you on a few projects, including this particular show that we're going to talk about tonight. But definitely, what I want to do is I want to get what I want the audience to experience, because this is what I call that moment where you're going, holy crap, something's going down. What am I going to do? And how am I going to get out of it? So this segment, Sergio, it's called Kickball Change. And the reason why I wanted to do something like this is because it allows the audience to really hear firsthand all of the things that we have to go through when we're on stage and off. And one of the things to me is that I know you for a long time, so I know that you have a lot of great experiences that you could share with us. But which one is one that sticks out to you as a dancer? That's the first one that I want you to share with us. And then you'll share with us the second part as a choreographer.
I'd love to. My kickball change experience, what I call un pasito para adelante, un pasito para atrás experience, was in 1989. I was in LA. I had just taken a year off from chiropractic school. And I was taking class, and a teacher came to me and she said, you know, they're having auditions for an all black version of Pollyanna, which Debbie Allen is choreographing. Now, Debbie Allen to me was like a goddess.
Mine too.
A goddess of dance. You know, I had grown up watching her in Fame. So I got to the audition late because the audition had started like at 2, and I got there like at 2:30. And I opened the door ajar, and I looked through. I peeked in, and there were, I don't know, 50 all African Americans. And I saw the seas parted, and then there's Debbie Allen standing in the middle talking to their dancers. And I thought, oh my God, I am going to die right now. What I would do to dance for her. And I thought, here's my opportunity of dancing for Debbie Allen. And they'd already learned a lot of the combination. And I said, you know what? I'm going to crash this audition. I don't care that I'm not black. I'm going to walk in there. I swear I'm going to walk in there. I crept in. I snuck in. I threw my bag down. Debbie looked at me kind of funny because I was the only kind of like white person in there. I was Hispanic. And I started to learn that combination. And it was one of those, you're either going to make it or you're going to break. And I thought, here's a golden opportunity for me to break the rules. Walk in. Let Debbie Allen see me dance. And she saw me. I learned the combination really fast. I went on the last group of boys. You know, and when you do a dance combination, audition, you have different groups. There were like six groups of people. I went in the sixth group. I learned it so fast. And the combination stopped. My group stopped. And she said, you, come here. And she's like, what's your name? And I was like, Sergio. And she said, where are you from? And I said, New York City. And she said, okay, I saw that you came in late, but you can stay. And I stayed, and I made it all the way through to the end. She kept me and another 20 people, and she tried to make me black at the end of the audition. She was like putting headbands on me. She was like talking to the producers, and she was trying to make me black. At the end of the day, she couldn't cast because I wasn't black. But I created a great relationship with her, and from then on, I was one of her dancers, and then I was one of her associates.
Awesome.
And then full circle, you know. I guess 20 years later, there I am choreographing Memphis on Broadway, and her daughter, Vivian Nixon, was dancing in my cast. So that was like, you know, it's like a full circle, and something that if I didn't kickball change and take advantage of the moment, I would have never, ever had that opportunity.
Oh my God, that's a great story. What a great, great story. Oh my God, he's like in the middle of all these African-Americans, and there's my Colombian friend, you know. Oh, I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it. And so, you know, and that's also really important too, because what it shows is that no matter what, if you believe in yourself and you want to get something accomplished, you have to have the confidence to be able to put yourself out there. That's really the message that I got. That goes in life. In life, if you want to get that job or get that love, the love of your life, or be able to do whatever it is that you want, you have to take a chance. You took the risk. You opened up that door. You said, oh my God, I'm not black, but you went in anyway. Yeah. That's amazing. And that's exactly why we want people to hear that kick ball change, because it also translates to that metaphor of what do you do when you're caught in that crossroad, and you could either say yes, or you could have easily have shut the door and say, I don't belong here. You would have never been have 20 years later to say this amazing story that her daughter was dancing for you.
I know, it's unbelievable. But, you know, I think yes, you know, I saw myself, I mean, I did look at that opportunity and I thought, if I don't take advantage of this moment, I'll never get a chance. But also, you know, that before that, they had done a lot of work to be able to get into that room and to be able to stay in the room. So if the opportunity presents itself, it's not only about being fearless and putting yourself out there, but you also have to prepare yourself for that moment. And I feel like a lot of people that are successful, you know, it's not only about being talented, but also about being prepared for that when that one moment presents itself, that you are ready to deliver. And I feel like, you know, part of the reason why Debbie Allen took notice of me was because I came at it fearlessly. She saw me, that I was not afraid, but also that I was also prepared and ready to show that I could actually dance amongst all these incredibly talented dancers.
Right, because you said that you already kind of knew the you had gotten the what is it, the choreography?
No, I didn't know the choreography.
But you had been studying and getting ready for that technical stuff.
Well, that's right.
That's the thing. That's the difference. The thing is that in order to take when the opportunity knocks, and this is something that I think all of us artists talk about. You have to be able to step in through that door, knowing that you're gonna hit it out of the ballpark.
Yep.
Why? Because you've done the work
that's
prior.
Right. That's
We've
right.
done the work prior, and that's important to know. So what about sharing now? Here it is. Okay, so as a dancer, that happened, and in that kind of opened up the door for you to become the associate and work with her and then move on. Now you're this amazing choreographer doing wonderful things. What experience sticks out in your mind as a choreographer that you can share that's similar to what you just gave us?
You know, I mean, I continue to grow as a choreographer, and I always feel that no matter what I do, you know, it's always like I start with a blank page, and there's always that fear to, you know, that I, you know, putting the hand to, you know, pen to paper is always a challenge. I think early on in my career, one of the moments, and you and I were talking about this earlier, was Cheetah Rivera called me in to choreograph a number for her in her one-woman show. This was like, again, 20 years ago, 1997, I think. And she asked me to come in. Somebody had been choreographing a number and she wasn't happy with it. And she said, can you come and choreograph the number? And I said, of course, you know, again, you know, I'll jump at the opportunity. And I called you and I said, Maria, I need to work out some choreography. And I went to my friend Jerry Mitchell's apartment and we emptied out his living room, and because he had big mirrors in his apartment. And there we are, you know, I'm working out the choreography with you beforehand. But I remember getting to San Francisco and, you know, I get to this rehearsal room.
Yeah.
And there's Cheetah Rivera, like one of our legends, standing in front of me. And I thought, I'm either going to be extremely intimidated by that, or I'm going to treat her as an equal and push her. And because I was prepared by having done a lot of the work before I got into the room with you, I walked in with confidence, and I didn't think of Cheetah as, oh my God, Cheetah. I thought, you know what? I'm going to push her for us to create something that could be really special. And so it was unbelievable because she treated me. First of all, she turned into this young, like all of a sudden, there's Cheetah Rivera, but the gypsy in her, the young chorus girl, has never left her. And she worked so hard. And I remember after the first day of rehearsal, she said to me, she said, oh, Sergio, thank you so much. And she said, I promise I'm going to go home and I'm going to practice and I'm going to be really good tomorrow. That coming from Cheetah was unbelievable. But also, you know, that the fact that she gave me so much respect, and I felt like I learned so much on that one day with her about humbleness, about kindness, and about respect between artists. And, you know, she, I was nobody. She's worked with Fosse, she's worked with Jerome Robbins, with Peter Gennaro, with, you know, it goes on and on and on. And you know, she gave me the respect, and I gave it back to her. But more than anything, that is like one of the most extraordinary experiences I've had thus far.
Oh my God, that's great. You know, and it, talking about Cheetah, because she is amazing. And I remember, you know, like us working a little, you know, working that out, and then just going, oh my God, I wish I get a chance to work with her. So in sharing this Kickball Change moment, he just triggered something. I was doing the Drama League one year, and it was a year that Artie Phillips, may he rest in peace, an amazing dancer that we both know, that Artie worked with Sergio. They both danced together. Anyway, but Artie had called me, and he wanted me to partner him, and we were doing the opening number because it was a tribute to Terrence McNally. And so that evening, it was going to be all these performers, and Cheetah was going to be there. I said, I'm there. Because I was like, I don't know, it's too much rehearsal time. I don't know, I'm busy. And he goes, Cheetah, I'm there. I'm saying yes. So there she is. There I am rehearsing with Artie. I'm in this lift, looking up, and I hear this deep voice. Oh my God, I haven't seen a lift like that since Augie and Margo. And I went, oh my God, she's there, oh my God. So I got so nervous that I fell out of the lift, right? I fell out of the lift. So then that night, we do the performance, I do the opening number, and there was like a little glitch towards the end, and Artie's a perfectionist. He was like, oh, I can't believe it, da-da-da-da-da-da. So F. Murray Abraham comes over to me, and I'm getting ready for my second number, and I'm painting my nails. He goes, hey, where you from? I said, I'm from Brooklyn. And then Cheetah goes, yo, Brooklyn, come over here. Let me talk to you a second. So he comes over to Cheetah. Cheetah's on one side, and Brooklyn, F. Murray Abraham is here. He goes, hey, Cheetah, tell Brooklyn what she's like. He goes, oh my God, I haven't seen dancing like that in such a long time. And I thought I was gonna die and go to heaven, right? I have to share the story because he triggered so much. But then 5 or 6 days later, 10 o'clock at night, the phone rings. I don't know who's calling me at that time because I was in bed because I had to get up for a rehearsal. And so then my husband says, it's Cheetah on the phone. I was like, get out of here. That's not Cheetah. Put forward, please. Pick up the, hello, Maria, this is Cheetah. I was like, what? I didn't even know what to say. I was like, hello? And she goes, I had to call you. I just wanted to say, I said, how'd you get my number? He goes, I had to go through several people, but I wanted to call you to let you know that your performance touched me so much that I needed to let you know how amazing you are. And I just wanted you to know that. And I want to tell you that, you know, in life, you go through things happen, but it's what you do to recover. And the way that you recovered was so amazing that I just needed you to know that. And we became friends from that day. She was always in my life.
Amazing.
She came to see me in Swing on Broadway. She came, we did other performances. And so, yes, what you're saying about humble, and yes, what you're saying about, you know, being able to be prepared and get yourself back on your feet. Like I said, she distracted me so much that I was like, but I turned it around and I went, you know what, that second number, I'm gonna come back and I'm gonna be a knockout. And I did. I mean, it was like, Artie didn't even know what to say. He's like, who is that? You know me, how I dance. So it's true. You're right. You have to prepare yourself. She's such an iconic person that you got to work with her and be able to choreograph. And it brings me back to the Kickball Change to keep me moving. Something that you said that's really important that she said to you. I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna go practice. She's humble because a real artist, it doesn't worry about who the name is. They worry about the material and the stuff that they're doing. You're talking about.
Yeah, it's a lot of respect. A lot of respect for the art. Yep.
It's amazing. Yep. It's incredible, you know, and I think, you know, those are two great stories. In our segment, we share stories about what happened when you're performing and something drastically went wrong in front of a live audience. Can you share with our audience one of those moments?
One of the moments that something went drastically wrong as in me a performer or as a choreographer?
Both. You could do one of each if you want. Why don't you do the one?
One of the most tragic moments that happened to me on stage. Oh my God, I'll never forget it. I have it on tape.
You do? I got to see it.
It's on national television. It's in front of all of like hundreds of thousands of people. I was dancing for Debbie Allen for the Welcome Home, Welcome Back, Welcome Home America, which was a tribute to the troops that were coming back from Iraq back in 1998, maybe? 95, 96, I don't know, somewhere in there. And we had learned this number very quickly. Some of them knew it already. Myself and another guy didn't know it. And there were like eight dancers, with eight male dancers in Debbie Allen. And two of us didn't know it. The other six people knew it, but they taught it to us really fast. And I still didn't quite know the choreography that well when we started to perform it. But they also put me, Debbie liked me to dance next to her, on her left, always. So they put me to the left of her, and we're dancing on the show. And I kind of like, and I'm next to her, but I can't see everybody behind me because everybody else is behind me. And she's wearing, we're doing this kind of African thing, and she's wearing this ponytail, and we're doing a number, and she did something, and all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I thought her ponytail had fallen off and gone onto the floor. So I was like, I swear to God, and I was like going, did Debbie Allen just lose her ponytail? And I'm like dancing and like look like in slow motion, and I'm looking for the ponytail on the floor because I can't see her because her head is this way, and I'm looking at her going, your ponytail is on the floor, and she's like, what? And I'm going, and I'm dancing, and we're dancing a mile a minute. Your ponytail is on the floor. So that threw me off, and from then on, like I was like, it counts ahead of everybody. My arms were going up in the air. It counts like the whole number. My husband, Jack, who was watching the show at that time, it was being televised too. It was all the presidents, Carter, Reagan, Ford.
No pressure. No pressure.
Muhammad Ali was there, Arnold Schwarzenegger. And there I am making all sorts of mistakes. The most horrifying experience you could ever imagine. I have it on tape.
I gotta see that.
Thank God it's not. It's on VHS, God. So not on YouTube.
Okay. Is that on YouTube? That's hysterical.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So how did you recover from that? Like, what did you do?
I still haven't recovered. I am scarred for life.
I'm scarred for life on that one.
How can you recover? Are you kidding?
You can't. I gotta definitely see that for sure. Audience, I'll let you know what it looks like once I've seen it. But it sounds really funny. How about something as a choreographer? That went really wrong.
Oh my goodness. I don't know. As a choreographer, like everything always goes wrong. Well, I mean, on your feet, having like one of my girls, dude, we have this really, really, I mean, I think, you know, in every show that I do, there's always like one terrifying moment, like no matter, like, especially on press night, where I'm like, oh my God, they better get this right. And it's always petrifying, and I always actually leave the room.
Yeah.
But we have one in On Your Feet where we got the corkscrew into a lift, and this is the day before the press comes. The main press, and one of our lead girls is out dancing, and we're doing, and so I have to put my swing on, who I love and adore, Natalie Carancho.
Right.
She's really fantastic, but she went on that one night last minute, and Maria and I are standing in the back watching the show, and she goes in they're in the center position, and they're doing the corkscrew, and everything just went awry. She fell over. She ended up with her face on the floor, and they're like the center couple. They're supposed to be the fiercest couple, and
the lift didn't work out. So for the audience that doesn't know what a corkscrew is, basically what winds up happening is that this poor girl has to go in heels, mind you. Her partner leads her to do a turn, and then she goes down she squats, basically sits in a squatted position, and then she has to turn in that squatting position. So we call that a corkscrew. And what happens is that in this part of the song, which is conga, which is a very, really high energy part of the song, but then it transfers into like this really hot Latin, just percussive, really, really high energy. And she has to be able to keep up with that tempo. And so this is what he's describing, that, unfortunately, she goes on and she hits the floor.
And the guy, while he's doing that, what he does is he raises his left leg over her head, but his leg hit her on the head. She went flying backwards. She tried to come over, but then she fell over on her stomach. He's trying to pick her up by the waist. She can't get up, and there's still more choreography on top of that. Then what she has to do is she has to do another jump and go on his shoulder. None of that happened. In the center.
And poor Sergio, I'm looking at his face, and he's like purple. His face is purple, and I went, I said, don't worry, tomorrow we rehearse it. It'll be better tomorrow.
Yes.
That's the beauty about being going live. So there you have it. Our kickboard changed. This show still went on. We still had to keep doing. So that's definitely the kickball change moment.
Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer.
How did you get involved in On Your Feet?
How did I get involved in On Your Feet? I got a call from Nick Scandelli as our producer, asking me that if I wanted to be part of the team. It was like one of those that happened. It happened really quick and really fast. And a lot of that had to do, was attributed to one of my dearest friends, Jerry Mitchell, who I've known for almost 27 years, actually. And Jerry had already signed on to be the director, and he said that the obvious choice was me. And so Nick called me and he said, you know, we're working on this new Gloria Estefan, Emilio Estefan musical, and we'd love for you to be part of it. At that point in time, there was a script a script that they had just been working on for maybe a year or so. But yeah, I mean, listen, you know, when you have on the page, you know, you have Emilio and Gloria Estefan, who are royalty for us. When you have Jerry Mitchell, Nick Scandelius, Jimmy Niederlander, who are, you know, top-notch producers, you sign up.
When we interviewed Gloria, you know, what she said was that it was easy for her to make the choice with Jerry. She asked him a couple of questions. That was it. And then she knew by seeing his work and by connecting with him that he was the director for the show, you know. And I saw the show. I saw an interview of Gloria with Oprah, and it touched my heart. The way that she interacted with her family, the way that she interacted with Emily, her and Emily did a song together, and I was in tears by the end of that song because you can see their beauty just coming through that you know, through the screen. And I said, I don't care what it is. When she announced that she was doing that, I said, I'm going to work on that show. I don't know. And for some reason, you know, like I said, I submitted, and then you and I met, and I'm so thankful because I sent you a text and you responded right back, and I love that. And so the 14 months was just an incredible journey, such a beautiful, incredible journey. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that, you know. But I think that's wonderful that they really, that it was that quick, like the whole show was, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't this experience like the quickest one?
Yeah, this is my ninth show, and this is the fastest show that I've ever done in terms of from development to it happening.
Right.
And a lot of that has to do with Jerry. I mean, not only that. I mean, listen, I think the team itself is like, I think that the producers are assembled the right team. I think all of the players were the right players in terms of like yourself and Marco Santana. The dancers. I mean, it goes on and on and on. But it was one of those moments, moments of divine intervention, you know, where it just sort of the planets aligned and it was meant to be.
Yeah, it was incredible. And so, how has this experience been different for you as a choreographer and as a Latino choreographer working on a musical about an iconic couple who brought our music to mainstream?
How has the experience of On Your Feet really changed me? You know, it's really interesting because, you know, I think that in the past year and a half, I've probably grown up more than I have in the last 10 years. And I think that what On Your Feet is for me is a sort of like a completing the circle of life, of something that I began 10 years ago, a show that I worked on called Mambo Kings, which Maria Torres was one of my dancers and one of my star dancers, and you also helped me create. And that show felt, unfortunately, the show was slotted to come to Broadway and we got panned because the show wasn't ready. But choreographically, I was very proud of the work. But so it felt unfinished.
Yes.
And so I actually put, it was slightly heartbreaking because, you know, you have so much pride in what you do, especially for a show about that's really close to your culture. And because the show didn't come to New York, my heart was really broken and I felt a real letdown. So I sort of put all of that aside and put it in a little compartment in my heart. Right on, and I just felt like, you know, one of these days I'm going to be able to come back and do this again. And so, you know, having put all of that and tucked it away for a little bit, for me to be able to come back and relive all of that and relive it in a way that, you know, I'm 10 years older, having you next to me as opposed to dancing on stage, has been really incredibly invaluable. And more than anything, it was the right time. And, you know, sometimes, you know, things happen for a reason. And this is one of those where, you know, I was ready for and we were all ready.
Yeah.
For it to happen now. I don't know if we would have had the same success that On Your Feet is having had we done it 10 years before, had we done Mambo Kings 10 years ago.
I share that, and I share that thing the same with you. I share that full circle because it was, you know, that was a Pulitzer Prize book. We love our Oscar Hijuelos, and unfortunately, the powers that be surrounding it, the actual script, you know, wasn't supporting what in our hearts we wanted to deliver onto that stage. But I do know that when it came to the choreography department, to the dance department, we had poured our hearts and our soul, and people in the middle, because I was dancing, and I know that it was difficult for Sergio because I wasn't right there on his side all the time, but I was there. We worked. I never had so much fun in our creative process like the way that we did. That was like one of my favorite moments, because talking about all the things that we're talking about right now, working hard, having no wrong, just going for it, but being happy because it's our culture and our music. Every time we heard that conga or whatever, we would get smile from ear to ear and something else beautiful would come out of it. And I remember being on that stage with all of those people and listening to an audience that in the middle of the numbers that I never heard that in my life, were applauding because the department had done such a wonderful job, the choreographer department had done such a wonderful job that it did get us only part way, not all the way, you know? And you're right, with On Your Feet, you know, I was beside you, so I was in the room creating. I was with you, I was with Serge, Jerry, who was funny, because he would start the day with his, you know, we would start the day with a funny little video, I love it, or funny, you know, something, and Andy, and so we would come in and all of us would just be getting ready for the day, and the magic would happen. And before we knew it, it was this stuff that just would just, it kept growing and growing and growing. And I remember in July, right, when we were there towards the end, that you and I were standing in the back one day. And I looked at you and you looked at me, we held hands, but you were like so emotional. You got very emotional. Yeah. And I was with you. I was with you right there because I knew. I knew that we had definitely come full circle. But that this time, it felt right.
That's right. Yeah.
It really did. It felt right. Wanted to know what organizations are you involved in helping with the community.
So the one organization that I'm always very much involved with is Revolución Latina, which is the president is Luis Salgado, and that organization has been going on for almost 10 years. I'm heavily involved in donating a lot of money to them, and I believe in it. And then the other one is Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS, who, you know, I mean, all of us, I mean, in the community. I know that I've, for the first 10 years of Broadway Bears, I was very much involved in donating my time in helping out in the event, choreographing, assisting Jerry, organizing, so on and so forth. And I did that for the first 10 years. So those are two organizations that I'm very much involved with.
You know what would be really great is to share like a personal message. You know, like the fact that we have been working on a historical show like On Your Feet, that we know it's a lot more than just choreography.
Yeah.
It's really for all of us.
Yeah.
We all feel a sense of ownership because it's all of our stories being represented there. What's the personal message that you can share to these young up-and-coming Latinos and artists? Because they don't have to be Latino either.
Right.
You know, I mean, to tell a story, you just tell a good story. But for us, this is a historical moment. So I guess a personal message to them. And then as an artist, what would be a personal message to that young person that's in that room, you know, dreaming about making it happen?
I mean, I think on your what On Your Feet has allowed me to do is, as I said earlier, was to be able to sort of complete the circle in terms of my heritage and in terms of my journey. You know, I grew up in Colombia in a very, very poor town, and I'm an immigrant. And being the first, the son of immigrants, it was very important for me to help my family. And I never thought, you know, and I thought, well, you know, the only way I can do it is by becoming a doctor or by becoming an engineer and so on and so forth. And I had a lot of those pressures, but I feel that, you know, what happened was that in really listening to my, what was deep in my heart, which was my art, and really listening to it, and really following that path, that journey, that really listening to your instincts and what's really inside you, what has happened is that it's allowed me to really help my family even more so than I could have done had I been a doctor or an engineer. And it was part of my destiny and it's part of what I needed to do because the art has allowed me to affect other people, you know, and it's relative, you know, I get to do it on a big, you know, on a big Broadway stage, but you know, I could have been a choreographer for community theaters and that's okay because being a choreographer for our community theater is okay because what you get to do is you get to work on musicals or plays and you get to affect people's lives and you get to change people's lives, but you also get to entertain them. And for those 2 hours or hour, whatever it is that you're working on, people can escape their worries and come and enjoy a show. And I feel that that is something that is very important to me. But the reason why I want to bring it up is because I want Hispanics to understand that art can save you. And, you know, whether you you become an artist, a choreographer, a musician, you don't have, it doesn't have to become a career, but it can also become something that is something really that someone can be impassioned about. It can actually save them because it can keep them from getting involved with other kids that are doing drugs or what have you. Absolutely. I think that there is a real, real wonderful quality about investing in the arts that
Absolutely.
Can save people's lives.
Yeah, it does. It heals. It's healing. It's definitely important in a time like today, in this era where we have the children and young kids that are not having the luxury of what I had when I was growing up. We used to have these recreational summers where we can go and take dance classes for free, mm-hmm. and that was all provided. That's no longer, you know? So, you know, Revolución Latina had to come around. MTAF, which is one of my foundations, we bring life lessons through the arts to the community because our belief is that everybody should be exposed to the art because it does affect your being and your life. And whether or not you want to become an artist like us, it's irrelevant. It's just being able to, like you said, it heals and it keeps you out of trouble. So thank you for sharing that, for sure.
If you're listening to Hourglass, if you happen to come to New York, come to see On Your Feet. You'll be very proud of it.
At the Marquise Theater, and you can check us out online at onyourfeet.com.
Hourglass is an original podcast production hosted by creators and producers Maria Torres and Giovanna Aguilar. We would like to give a special thanks to all who made On Your Feet full access possible. Emilio and Gloria Stefan, Jerry Mitchell, the Nederlander Organization, the Marquee Theater, Christina Bursacqua and Mandy Tate from the Charlotte Wilcox Company. In addition, we are very grateful to Alka Samuel Smith of Divine Rhythm Productions and our Grammy-nominated musician-composer, Roman Rojas, who were on location assisting with these recordings. Stay tuned for the full episodes coming soon.
Maria Torres and I, we know it's like a love affair.